So I think that our retirees, particularly those that have invested their time, their energy, their money, their value, their essence, their skill, their talent, their ability, their willingness into building organizations, companies, homes, stores, places of business, hospitals, schools that have invested themselves in this, the building of this nation in any way, shape, or form, deserve to retire in peace, not poverty. They deserve to retire in peace, not poverty. Not everyone that is retired or retiring has made an investment in building others. But those that have deserve to retire in peace, not poverty. And we would like to call ourselves a civilized nation, but a civilized nation does not demand more of people than they can honestly give, regardless of what their cultural, racial, age, religious, any of those backgrounds that we like to differ about. We have to be the ones, we are supposed to be setting the standard, not compromising the standard. There should not be anyone except those who desire. There are many people who don't desire to retire, and even after they do, they find other things to do. And even in those situations, have we considered the fact that there can be intergenerational training, cross-training? We need to stop letting people retire in place and instead find roles for them that preserve the opportunity for their full retirement while they pour into a new generation of up-and-coming professionals or, it doesn't matter, white-collar, blue-collar workers. They have the expertise and the knowledge. And are you telling me that as a nation, I'm just starting with as a nation, United States of America, but this can apply anywhere in the world. Are you telling me that we are without the capacity and or the willingness to make that happen? There is more than enough room around the proverbial table than we care to admit or allow. But if we dare say that we are civilized and humane, then we need to start asking ourselves harder questions so that we can get better answers and even better solutions. We complain far too much not to be coming up with some more solutions. We are puzzle pieces to be fit together, not fabric to be ripped apart. We are puzzle pieces. We don't match. We differ in size, in shape. We differ in what aspect of the total picture we're going to present face front. All of those things, if you think about a puzzle, when you look at a puzzle, you don't expect the puzzle to have the exact size, same size, exact same size shape. Regardless of whether the puzzle is 3 pieces or 3,000, 500, 5,000, you expect every piece to be different for the purpose of fitting it together. So we are at a place in our society, in our humanity, where we have to make some decisions, not about who someone else wants to be, but about who we are and who we want to be. Because we talk an awful lot to keep coming up short in areas of advancing the whole. There shouldn't be any homelessness. There's only homelessness because we want there to be homelessness. There shouldn't be any food insecurity or any food deserts or any places where people can't get whole, organic, clean food, nutritious food for their bodies, but that exists because that's what we want. It's never been about business. It's always been personal. And we use that as an excuse not to try to disconnect and disassociate ourselves from our own humanity. But the fact of the matter is that it's always been about people. Without people, you can't even talk about business. And so what we do is we use business not to talk about people. We use business to try to step away from the responsibilities we have, either as individual human beings, as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as investors, whatever the situation is. But it's time for us to step into humanity, not away from it. We cannot say that we are humane and or civilized if we are not contributing to the solution for the whole. Nationally, globally, city, state, community, neighborhood, region. We need to rebuild our middle class. We need to rebuild our working class. Why would we not want to do that at a time when people need connection the most? We want to invest most of our money in technology. Technology should never be about replacing humanity because it never can. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that all day and all night. Technology is about helping to advance the cause of humanity, not to supplant the cause of humanity or even humanity itself. If we were meant to be machines, we would have been created as machines. The farmer sows a seed into the ground. That's the seed that comes out. The seed doesn't transform itself. And so while we're making technological advances, we really aren't making any advancements whatsoever in humanity. Otherwise, the problems that plague us, the basic needs of every individual human, would already be addressed and would already be solved. We are living so far below the standard which we are intended to live that it's not even funny. And yet we say we're prosperous. We're not. We are very much deficit-minded. We are very much scarcity-minded. Very much. Even those of us that claim to be wealthy, you're scarcity-minded. Why? Because even if you have money, if you're trying to deny someone else the opportunity, then you have a scarcity mindset. An abundance mindset says that there is enough room around the table for every single person. Everyone that exists, the universe can provide for 100% of every single person that exists in every single moment. And if we believe anything else, it just shows how myopic and small-minded we are. We need to operate from a position of strength, a position of asset-based thinking, which means that if I solve this problem for one person, how do I scale that to solve it for every other person that's experiencing the same thing? Now, don't be fooled. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what I look like. We are all human beings, and nobody's opinion changes that. We all came into the world pretty much the same way, and we're all going to leave pretty much the same way. We own nothing. Ownership is something that we have done to try to distinguish ourselves from the rest of humanity while also denying the rest of the rest of humanity the same opportunities that we have. The challenge for us, though, is the more we have, the more we are responsible for. We want the ownership without the responsibility. It doesn't work like that. That shows that we don't understand the spiritual principles that are in place guiding us along this process that we like to call life. But really, it's a process designed to amplify our humanity, to help us fit as puzzle pieces into the big picture. Everyone here has a place. And sadly, some will choose not to use their piece of the puzzle in the best way. But I don't believe that's most of us. I believe that most of us do want to do our best. We're not going to all do the same thing, but we all feel the same way. We all bleed the same way. We all feel pain the same way. Our circumstances and our situations, of course, they're different. We need to stop saying that. Of course, they're different, but we need to stop splitting the difference and find a way to amplify the commonality. We're 90% the same. We want to talk about the 10% difference over and over again until we see it seems like there's nothing left. For any of you that have any kind of religious background or whatever, the universe, I say God, and the universe, they're holding us accountable for every resource, every person. Okay? We like to talk about the trees and the flowers, and I'm all for nature. But people first. There's never supposed to be a food chain in humanity. We are, if I have food, somebody else is supposed to be able to eat as well. I'm supposed to make sure of that. We like to judge, but we don't want to be judged. We want mercy, but we don't want to give mercy. We like grace, but we don't want to give grace. We want the truth from everybody else, but we want to lie to everybody. Some of the biggest hypocrites in the world, we are. And we don't have to be, because there is enough for us all. I am tired of the scarcity talk. I have more than some, but I have less than others. But you know what? I'm going to bless every bit of what I have. Why? Because me blessing it ensures that it is more than enough. And I'm encouraging you to do the same. We need to build and rebuild. Those that are coming into any of our, we took all of our programs out of schools. Now we would complain about the schools. No, you knew what you were doing when you did it. So what we need to do is put back what we took away. You never take anything away without putting something back. And for everyone that wants to condemn or put down those who have worked long and hard all of their lives, okay, until our 401Ks started being stolen by people for the benefit of their own pockets. See, it's not the money. It's the love of the money that's destroying us. Why wouldn't we want people to have a living wage? If you're not going to give them a living wage, then stop manipulating, stop playing with the inflation. Inflation is not just about the economy. It's not just a political test. Inflation is about manipulation in many instances. And so what we have to begin, you have to make a decision. You do. Not you and your gang, you and your posse, you and your political party, you and your church. You have to make a decision, because at the end of the day, you're slipping out of here. When we transition out of here, and I'm talking to you, yes, from a practical perspective, but how the spiritual translates into the practical. We are in eternity. Eternity is not separate from where we are. That's how we see it. We see eternity as far off. No, eternity is right here. If eternity didn't exist, we wouldn't be here. There would be no such thing as time. Time is a factor of eternity. It is eternity manifested. So where we came out of eternity into a place of manifestation, we like to talk about manifestation. Let's talk about it this way. We came out of eternity into a place of manifestation. When we transition out of here, we will transition back into a place of eternity, seen, into unseen. Invisible into visible into invisible. So there is the thing on the other side of this period called time, our lifetimes, which is really our life process, our life journey, that we still are being held accountable for. We are here. Our mettle is being tested every single moment of our lives once we reach a certain age. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean a certain age like 20, 30, 40, like we do it. Because everything that we do is flawed in so many ways, it's not funny. And yet we use those things as the basis for decision making. It will never be the basis of decision making, because the eternity will always be greater than we are. It will always know more. It will always have an abundance. There is no one here that has invested 20, 25 years in good faith that deserves anything but what they were promised when they started working. And yet, how many people have been cheated out of something for the love of money? We have so much more. We are capable of so much more. You want to make more money? Then help other people make more money. It's as simple as that. Why would you take home economics out of school and then complain because people don't know how to cook, they don't know how to do housework, they don't know how to pay their bills? Why would you take woodworking out of school and now we don't have a lot of the beautiful woodwork? Why would you take some of these technical craft skills All of these things for well-rounded individuals. We need all of it. We're not here to make money. Money is needed for us to become, in many instances, what we need to become. But even those that don't have money, God or the universe, however you want to say it, is going to ensure that that person is taken care of because they are operating in good faith. We are all into, in every day we wake up, we come into a place of grace. Everyone, regardless of your belief, we're all here by grace. Meaning every single moment of our lives, we have the opportunity to do something better, something greater, something different, something powerful, impactful, and transformative, not just for ourselves, in fact, not first for ourselves, but to make life better for those around us. Not because we like them, not because we know them, not because we agree with them, but because human to human, we're going to contribute to someone else finishing their journey strong. And you know what happens when we do that? All of us become strong. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. We like to say that, but because we, in our minds, we dissociate from other people, we think it doesn't apply to us. It applies to you first. The further you think you are away from the weakest link, the more impacted you are, because when you put yourself in that position, you also took on more responsibility. So the universe is holding you responsible for the responsibility you took on by distinguishing yourself, excluding yourself. Things don't work the way we think. We like to talk about manifestation. We are all manifestations. And there is a universe that is unsearchable. Doesn't mean we don't stop trying. Doesn't mean we haven't found a few things. But the more we look, the greater it gets. Likewise, as we mature and as we grow, as we have experiences, good or bad, as we have triumph or experience tragedy or trauma, we're supposed to learn those lessons well enough to transform our lives to become better, not bitter. It's enough already. We weren't here. Love, the universe is made of love as far as I'm concerned. And it's going to spew out love. The universe is always spewing out love. And anything that's not made of love, it's going to dispose with that. We need to make sure that we are operating in good faith one toward the other. It doesn't mean I have to agree with you. But I'm also not going to disrespect you. And I'm not going to let you disrespect me. We are here to help each other. We are here to become a seed, the full-grown seed of love. You want to talk about an economy? Then start rebuilding your working classes. Put the things back in the schools, the music programs, the arts programs. They may not make you money per se, but they are sowing in a seed that will blossom into a profitable person who has potential to make money for themselves, to become greater citizens, and to help others. Don't let your short-sightedness and your coveting, your jealousy, and any of those other things cause you to miss the point. Because right now, we are not functioning the way that we need to function. And it has something to do with politics, but it doesn't have as much to do with politics as we like to think. People hide behind politics. You're going to have to give an account on your own. Nobody's going to ask you when you transition out of here about your political connections. So that's how we have to live today. People say, well, what's the afterlife like? You're living in it. Why do I say that? For those that believe in an afterlife, because there's no difference. We are in eternity right now. What's happening here, though, determines what happens when we leave. So we come in to this life as given an opportunity to grow into the fullness of our humanity, humane, compassion, love, joy, peace, health, life, strength. That's what we're here to grow in. And what is the byproduct of that? Abundance, prosperity, in spirit, soul, and body. So we become abundant people. We become manifested abundance. We become manifestations of love. We become givers. And that's what happens when people give out of in good faith. They get more. See, we don't understand the spiritual principles behind our existence, our respective existences. So if you want more, even if you just want money for money's sake, which is not going to get you far, it might get you far in this life, but one, you're not going to be able to take it with you, and two, you're going to have to give an account for everybody that you kept the money from. So it is truly time for us to shift into a position of compassion. Not competition. Well, we might play games and have sports, and that's supposed to be fun. We're not supposed to compete in life. Why? Because I am mostly like you, but enough to be me, but unique enough to be me. We are mostly is the same, but unique enough to be our own, right down to a fingerprint, right down to a voice print. So I don't have to compete. You can't compete with me for me. There is nothing meant for me that you can have, because the universe is smarter than all of us put together. And that's why we are here together as puzzle pieces, given the grace to fit together so that we can work together to produce abundance for all. You want to talk about economy? We haven't even started yet. I believe in money and want money just like everybody else to make sure I'm debt-free, I'm taken care of, that I don't leave my children or my family any financial burdens. I want that just like you, but guess what? That's not the main reason I'm here, and I recognize that. The greatest abundance is from us becoming abundance. You want to talk about manifestation? Manifest that. The greatest abundance is about us giving back those things that we took for the purpose of handicapping one another or certain populations. The greatest thing we can do is give the thing that hurts us the most. We want to take away things to hurt other people, but that's not how the universe works. The universe says if you want to grow, you've got to give the thing that that might hurt you the most. It might hurt you the most. We haven't talked about economy yet. We don't understand enough about the spiritual impact of humanity. You want to talk about an economy? Talk about the spiritual economy. Talk about what happens when someone gives love to another person and that person becomes strong enough to overcome and then help others. They become strong enough to become lawyers, doctors, skilled workers, homemakers, authors, creators. It doesn't matter. You can keep your caste system. You can keep your class system. That's not how it works. That's for us because we think we are running something. But we're not. Because there's always just enough that we can't control to let us know we're not in control. We need to rethink how we're doing this whole thing that we call life. It's really your process. Yeah, you can join up with whatever groups and factions and whatever else you want to, but at the end of the day, when you slip out of here, ain't nobody going to be there but you. That's what you have to give an account for. And how you treat people here, and the basis of all of this isn't going to be your money. It's going to be how you treated people. That's the standard. If it was going to be money, then we would all have been born as money, right? That's the account. That's how we think about it that way. If we were meant to be robots, we would have been born as robots. How we manifest it tells us what we're supposed to become. right? So if humanity was about being, if humanity was about being about money, then we would have been born as money. Become the best money you can be. Money is the tool. Money is the currency. Money is not the thing. It's not the end-all, be-all. It is to advance the cause of humanity, to advance the cause of compassion, to advance love. Don't handicap people and then complain about what you did to them. If you want children to do better in school, put the money back in the school. Stop trying to set up for-profit schools that make no money whatsoever, that make more money than they produce humans. We are here as a representative, as representing what we are supposed to become. We were born into a body to become human. And when I talk about human or humanity in that sense, I'm talking about the embracing the fullness of love, even with capitalism. Compassionate capitalism. We think that capitalism dictates the economy or dictates how life is supposed to be. Well, we can hold on to a capitalistic ideology if that's what we want. But capitalism isn't the end-all, be-all. Capitalism just allows us to do certain things more fluidly than we would if it wasn't capitalism. Really, compassion should be driving business, not business determining what is compassionate. We need balance in our lives. We don't understand balance. We don't understand it's got to be an either-or situation. Sometimes that's the case, but we're not that good. We're always going to be imperfect. We came in imperfect. We might have been cute, but we came in imperfect. And what we are going to be held accountable for is the degree to which we became less imperfect, right? So our flaws, our imperfections, our proclivities, those things that make us go, that bend and turn within us, the temptations, the biases, the aggressions. We're here together so that we can understand that regardless of where we are, what we look like, who we are, we're all going through the same thing. And that's supposed to engender and bring out, or I should say elicit, compassion. We get a house and we think we're better than somebody. We get more money and then we don't have to talk to anybody. Because only I can go in here because only I have this. Only I have a black card, so that means I'm better than you. No, doesn't mean anything. Just means you have a black card. Plus, I don't want to be over there anyway. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't begrudge anyone what you have. That's not what I'm here for. Because I believe if I'm supposed to have that, I will have it. But my job as a human is to be human, or is to learn how to be human. And the only way that I can do that is with other humans, is by helping them to the degree that they want my help. Or even, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, I'm doing this podcast right now, but to the degree that anyone's listening, even just in a day-to-day context that you may never know about, my job is to help somebody. My job is to say, you know what, if this was me, this is the kind of help that I want. Or I would ask the person, is there anything I can do to help you? Or have a good day. Thank you. You're welcome. Please. You want to talk about the economy? Let's talk about the economy of humanity. Let's build that economy. Because believe it or not, when we get to a place of love and compassion, the financial economy will explode. Why? Because people that feel good, people that feel appreciated and valued, not just of themselves, but of others, just in general, where they're in that environment, they're going to naturally and automatically produce more. So they may not want to own your company, but they may be a worker in your company. And if you're so keen on profit, why wouldn't you want the most productive employees ever? Why wouldn't you want every single one of them making as much money as they could make, because they're going to make more money for you? Don't talk to me about you being abundance-minded. No, the fact that we have such suppression of wages with inflation of prices is an indicator, not of the economy. It's an indicator of the willingness of those that are in the market to understand the meaning of humanity and the spiritual value of the human existence. If you really want to make money, then build the people that make the money. If we were supposed to be technologically driven, we would all be born as robots. We don't mind building a TV the size of a house that is highly pixelated, but we don't want to build a house for a person. Houses for people that don't have them. Why? Because we make these judgments about who they are. We're all here by grace. None of us has to be born into, good or bad, doesn't matter. None of us asked for the situations that we were born into. None of us asked necessarily for the paths that we took. So who are you to judge anybody's thing? And just also understand that the people that you are judging, therefore by the grace of God, go, we need to rethink. We need to reset. We are way off course. And not everyone, but nobody can toot their own horns. We're only as strong as a chain is only as strong as the weakest link. Whether you think you're part of the chain or not, you're part of the chain of humanity. And whether you think you're close to the weakest link or not, guess what? You're not going to be any stronger than that weakest link, and you're responsible in part, like the rest of us, for ensuring that the weakest link is as strong as it can be. Why? Because you want to be as strong as you can be. You want to be as abundant and profitable as you can be. Why do you not think that anybody else wants that as well? What are we thinking? When we put our heads down on the pillow, respective pillows at night, what is it that we are thinking? We spend so much time building the externals that we forget that the body's going to fall off. The money's going to go to somebody else. But when we transition out of here, the spirit and the soul will remain. And a full memory, by the way, full recollection of every opportunity that we had to do the right thing and we chose not to, that the people on the corner, the homeless, the food insecure, the child, stop using people's pain, stop exploiting people's pain, and instead find solutions for it. We need to come together around these things. We are mostly the same, but just enough different, to the point of a fingerprint, an eye print, an eye, whatever they call it. I guess I'm going to call it an eye print. You can call it what you want. You know what I'm talking about. Fingerprint, a footprint, just enough to make us unique, mostly the same. Puzzle pieces to be fit together, not fabric to be torn apart. We need to rebuild. We need to give our young people the opportunity to truly become everything that they can become. Not what we think they should become, but we need to use our intergenerational skills. Stop trying to be divisive. That's another sign of a poor mindset, a scarcity, deficit mindset. Is instead of saying, oh, you're getting older, you're of no use, is, you know what? You want to continue to work? Fantastic. We have this group of professionals here that we need you to train them in these skills. There is so much professionals, skilled workers, craftspeople in every area of life. There are people that are either out of the workforce or headed out of the workforce that have the skills, the knowledge, and the resources that want to give back. You want to build an economy? Build that one. You want to expand the economy? You want to stabilize your economy? Build people. If that's not what you want, you can keep playing. But you're going to have to give an account for that. But I believe that there's enough of us who want this, who want strong, healthy human relationships, investments in connection, not just connectivity. Look at the economy and employability across the lifespan. So from the time someone is able to work and desires to work or be educated, whether it's formally or apprenticeship, or restore that, and then across the lifespan, address each and everything. If I'm in my 40s, then I can teach somebody in their teens, their 20s, their 30s, and potentially even people up, because we want to look at innovation. So innovation is looking forward. But we also have intergenerational training. Here are some of the things I learned. Here are some of the things I experienced that might be helpful for you. You may or may not need them. But employers, you need to think about this. Because right now, a lot of you have people that are retired in place. And what's happening is your company is going backwards because nobody can work around them. Nobody can get around them. Preserve their retirement. Give them a different function. Help them train the next set of leaders. And now you've got an economy within your own company. But we need to go bigger than that, because everybody has an opportunity to do that. We want to talk about how our public school systems haven't failed. Y'all just moved the money. You took out the things that build people, and you put in the things that build money. But if we were meant to be money, we would have been born as money. We are meant to be people, and humane people at that, compassionate people at that. You want a strong, growing, never-ending economy that is unbeatable? Build people. And then build the houses for the people that don't have them. Give the food to the people that don't have it and train them too. Everybody's not going to be able to work. That's not the expectation. But there are more people that want to work and be productive. Some even may not want to be paid for it, but they want to be productive than you all want to admit. More people want to work and be productive than you will ever admit. So you want to pay a minimum wage, and you want to squash that so you can justify replacing them. You're going to have to give an account for that. At any rate, I could probably go on at this for a little bit. But understand the spiritual value of your money. Understand the spiritual economy. If you are not building people from a spiritual perspective, you are not living up to your responsibility. And you're going to have to give an account for that. We can start here and now becoming even greater. You can't tell me we're not off course. I know we're off course. And a lot of you all know it too. You just keep deceiving yourselves into thinking that we're not. Just remember, we are already in eternity. For everybody waiting for the afterlife, you're setting yourself up for it right now. Why? Because the future never arrives as the future. The future arrives as today. So you don't know when your moment is any more than I know when my moment is. My moment was supposed to be several years ago, by the way. But we don't know. All the things we think we know, we don't know. We're not in control of anything. We don't own anything. But we have opportunities sitting right before us to say, yes, I have money, and I want money. How much? It doesn't have to be equal to be equitable, by the way. Everyone should have what they need. Some may have more, some may have less, but there shouldn't be anyone that has none. Basic needs. If everyone has basic needs, that's equitable. If some people have more, then we, right? It's equitable. But when we build people, it's no longer a conversation. Stop profiting off of people's misery and stop making people miserable to profit. It's time for us to rethink this whole thing. We've got seniors being talked out of or cheated out of the money that they literally earn. And whether we see it or not, everyone that stole their retirement or is trying to steal it is going to be held accountable for eternity. So what we're doing here, for any of you that believe in an afterlife, if you don't believe, then, you know. What we're doing here is setting us up for that. Well, when I get, yeah. By the time you get there, you don't have any more opportunities to fix anything. The opportunity we have to fix anything is called now. To make it better, to make it right, to do the right thing, to become the best we can be. How do we become the best we can be? Not by focusing on ourselves. It's about focusing on helping others. That's the rub. The universe does not think the way we think. It's higher. Meaning that our thought processes are lower. You want to get, you give. You want to be somebody, then humble yourself. You don't hear that. We don't talk enough about those things. But those are spiritual principles that apply to the economy of your life. The economy of my life. Let's work together to get it together. We can do better. We should do better. We need to be speaking life to each other. And for everybody that's telling you you have a scarcity mindset, they have a scarcity mindset too. If they didn't, they wouldn't be telling you that. People with abundant mindsets don't tell other people they have a scarcity mindset unless they come behind and say, here's what you can do to improve that, instead of just continually trying to beat people down. Now, if your success is dependent on someone else not succeeding, then that's not success at all. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And I don't care how far you try to distance yourself, you're still part of the human chain. My name is Chaplain Michelle. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.